when the government appeared to be implicated in a fraudulent bond-selling scheme masterminded by a Ukrainian-born Jew by the name of Sergei Stavisky, the right wing in France erupted in massive demonstrations against the Republic in early 1934. The Republic, it argued, was not only ineffectual, it was weak, it was corrupt, it was immoral. Its leading figures had been involved in this bond-selling scheme, which indicated it was everything was for sale in the Republic. On February 4th, 1934, anti-Republican forces of the radical right demonstrated in Paris. They rioted against the Chamber of Deputies, began a march across the bridge to across the Seine to the Chamber of Deputies. The Republic seemed to be very much in peril. It would be this attack by the right that would lead to the founding of the leftist Popular Front government in France, as others on the left rallied to the Republic, faced with this threat now from the right. Léon Blum's Popular Front, a combination of leftist parties, won a major electoral victory in 1936 and pledged to defend the Republic against its enemies on the right, against fascism in Italy, against the Nazis in Germany, and against the domestic fascists. The Popular Front also pledged to introduce major labor reforms to ease the economic dislocations of the period and to deal with the Great Depression. The Popular Front fulfilled many of these promises. The 40-hour work week was introduced in France under the Popular Front. A new collective bargaining law that greatly strengthened organized labor was introduced, was passed by the Popular Front government. The Popular Front outlawed the armed fascist organizations that had seemed to imperil the Republic in 1934. Nevertheless, Léon Blum's government was turned out of office in 1937. Class divisions were greater than ever, sapping French resolve. One could argue that the last thing France needed to be doing in the mid to late 1930s, given the threat emerging from across the Rhine in Germany with Hitler's National Socialist regime, was finding ways to reduce the work week. French resolve in the late 30s seemed to be weakening, that France's focus had been lost, that its international position was gravely weakened by this, with this point. In 1938, when Edouard Daladier headed up a new conservative government, he sought to undo much of the Popular Front's pro-labor legislation. In 1938, France was confronted with a variety of crises, a major set of international crises in Central Europe, driven by Nazi aggression, by a general strike of labor in France itself. France, faced with the systematic dismantling of the Versailles Treaty by the Germans, seemed to be utterly powerless, that the Third Republic was staggering now from crisis to crisis without the resolve to take the sort of determined action necessary to meet its domestic problems and its weakened international position. All of these crises, all of these threats to the democratic order, were seen in their most salient form across the Rhine in Germany in the 1920s and in the early 1930s. The end of the war in November of 1918 had led to the creation of a new Republican government, Germany's first genuinely democratic state. The framers of that constitution, a coalition of social democrats, liberals, left liberals, and Catholic party members, had written a new constitution in the provincial city of Weimar. The Constituent Assembly, which began meeting in early 1919, had met in Weimar to be away from Berlin, which was seething with radical left revolution at that point. The Constituent Assembly, which had been elected by universal suffrage, not universal male suffrage, Germany would become the first of the major European states to introduce suffrage for women, met in Weimar to draw up a democratic constitution.